No matter what may be the terms, God will take care of you. Lean weary walk upon His breast, God will take care of you. God will take care of you through every day or all the way. He will take care of you. God will take care of you.
This morning, God's going to take care of us, isn't He? And you know, that's what we're really going to be talking about this morning again, too, as we've been in the book of John, and we'll be in John chapter 16 this morning. We'll be starting in verse 5 today. Remember, we're in the upper room discourse in John chapter 14, really, through 17, the beginning of that Jesus is talking to His disciples in that upper room at the Last Supper, and He's telling them that I won't leave you as orphans, and that I'm going to send a helper, and that yes, I'm leaving, and you can't come where I'm coming, but guess what? You're not going to be alone, are you? And He says that He's going to send that helper, and the helper's going to be with us, and we're actually better off with the helper than they are with Jesus there, because of the fact that Jesus, when He was here on earth, He could only be in a body at one place at one time. But because He sends the helper, the Holy Spirit, He's able to be in us and dwell in us and through us. And so He's able to be with everybody all at the same time. And so He is telling us that helper is coming. And as we got to chapter 16 last time, He was telling them that he kind of had started that theme in 15, that the world's going to hate you, and they hate you because they don't know the Father and they don't know Jesus, and then they're going to hate us. And then He kind of puts in there in verse 26, 27, the helper's coming. And then He comes back and says, I'm letting you know these things because guess what? They're going to put you out to synagogues. They're going to think they're doing God's service. And, you know, if you look around the world and you look in history and you read the history, you see that some of the worst wars and some of the worst things that were done were under the name of religion. And it's still going on today. People are being killed in the name of God, but it's not the people that are doing that have a wrong view of God. They don't understand what God's about, because God loves us and cares for us, and God doesn't want us to be killing people in the name of religion. The Bible tells us that God says that vengeance is mine. I will repay, right? And none of you ask me, where are you going? But because I have said these things to you, sorrow has filled your heart. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it is to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the Helper will not come to you, but if I depart, I will send Him to you. And when He has come, He will convict the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. Of sin, because they do not believe in Me. Of righteousness, because I go to My Father and you see Me no more. Of judgment, because the ruler of this world is judged. And let's stop right there. We'll see how far we get with that today. And so Jesus starts out, He says, I've told you these things so that you won't stumble. I'm letting you know. But then He says, but now I go away to Him who sent Me. So I'm going back to the Father, and that's where I came from. So I'm going back to Him. And then He says, but none of you asked Me where I was going. And you remember Peter did back in John chapter 13, verse 36. He says, Lord, where are you going? And Jesus answered, said, where I'm going, you cannot follow Me now, but you shall follow afterwards. Peter says, and why can't I follow you now? Lay down my life. And then Jesus gives him those famous words that he's going to deny him three times before the cock crows. And also, I think Thomas wanted to ask him. He kind of put a little couple of words in there too, but he didn't really actually come out and ask. And so when we get to chapter 16, what's happening here? Let's think about this. What happens when we get in trouble a lot of times, or things are going in our lives? We kind of start feeling sorry for ourselves, don't we? We kind of start looking at ourselves. We quit looking at everybody else around us and feeling sorry for them. And we kind of sometimes, the worst thing we can do is we get caught up in ourselves, right? I know we all do it, and some of us are better at not doing that than others, and some of us are worse than others at doing that. But what's happening here is Jesus has been telling them for a couple of chapters that I'm going away, and I think as time goes on, what happens? They start thinking worse and worse and worse, and Jesus is leaving and Jesus is going, and all of a sudden, they're not so worried about where Jesus is going and what's going to happen to Jesus. All they can think about is, oh no, we're not going to have Jesus anymore. We're going to be by ourselves. What are we going to do? Not what's going to happen to Jesus, what's going to happen to us. And that's what happens to us a lot of times when we get in trouble. And so the Lord's kind of rebuking them because He says, you know, I go away and none of you ask me, where are you going? But because I have said these things to you, sorrow has filled your heart. And so they're sorrowful, they're weary, and they're just downtrodden. And you know, that's why the Bible tells us in Hebrews to fix our eyes on Jesus, right? Who is the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before Him endured the cross and despised the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the Father. Jesus, He kept His eyes on the goal. That's why the Bible tells us over and over again. He's going to tell us in 33 that we have tribulation, but be of good cheer. He's overcome the world, right? And that's what Jesus is trying to do, prepare them. And that's what the Christian life is really all about, is knowing that we're going to go through trouble, knowing we're going to go through hard times. But you know what? Everybody goes through trouble. Everybody goes through hard times. But we as Christians may go through harder times because of the fact that we are Christians. But you know what? Remember, we've been told over and over again that James says it. Peter tells us. All these writers tell us that we go through trouble that we might be made more like Jesus. All this is preparation work for heaven, right? And when we get to heaven, as I said before we started, it's going to be worth it all when we see Jesus. Or as Romans 8:18 says, that the sufferings of this world are not worthy to be compared with the glory which we'll have in heaven. And so Jesus is like rebuking them and saying, you know, you need to quit being so preoccupied with your own problems and get outside yourself. I don't know if I told you, I probably told you this story one time before. But I remember a story, and I was thinking about this. It was a story about a lady that used to go to the cemetery, and she would had a few dollars, and every month she would come up. She had her a chauffeur, and she'd ride in the back of her limousine, and she'd ride up to the cemetery, and she'd give the caretaker a few dollars to buy some flowers, right? And then she'd drive off, and, well, I did my good deed for the month. And one day she drives up and tells the caretaker, says, you know, I'm dying. They can't figure out what's wrong with me, but I'm dying. The doctors say I'm dying. And so this will probably be the last time you see me, right? The caretaker looks at her and said, well, lady, if you take some of this money that you got instead of giving it to me to put flowers on dead folks' graves and start maybe visiting some people that need some help and love on some live people, some people who are alive, and reach out to them, then, you know, things might be a little bit different with you. She got all mad and rolled the window up and told the chauffeur. They just, he gunned it and spun the wheels and took off out of the place. And about a month or two later, she comes back, and it's the limousine coming back, and there's no chauffeur. She's driving a limousine. She pulls up, rolls down the window, and tells the caretaker, guess what? You were right. She said, you know, The doctors can't find anything wrong with me now. You know, what happens? You get turned in on yourself, and then all of a sudden a little problem is a big problem, and then you got 14 problems, and then you got 22, and then it gets worse and worse and worse. Well, she forgot about her problems and started helping other people, ministering to other people, and then God, you know, maybe she was dying, but sometimes you can die from hypochondriac or being, you know, just turning in on yourselves instead of reaching out. And that's why God wants us to reach out and love other people. And that's what's happening to these disciples. They've turned in on themselves. They've forgotten about everybody else around them, and they're not even caring for each other and loving on each other. They're just, each one of them is caught up in their own little dilemma. Hey, you know, what am I going to do? Not, well, what's John going to do? What's Peter going to do? What's Thomas going to do? Well, what about Jesus? What's going to happen to him? Jesus is kind of rebuking them, saying, you know, you need to get your eyes off yourselves and fix your eyes on me, the author and the finisher of your faith. When he gets to verse 7, he tells them, nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it is to your advantage that I go away, for if I do not go away, the Helper will not come to you. But if I will depart, I will send him to you. Let's stop right there. So the Lord's going away is not only necessary, but it's to their advantage, right? I mean, Jesus has already said in John 14, John 15, if he doesn't leave, he cannot send the Holy Spirit. I don't know why God ordained it to be that way, but Romans chapter 8, verse 9 says, if you do not have the Spirit of Christ in you, you do not belong to God. You know, some people talk about a second blessing, and, you know, you get saved, and then later you get the Holy Spirit and all these things. Ephesians 1:13 says, the moment you heard the Word, the moment you believed, the moment you trusted in the gospel of truth, the Word of salvation, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. And the Holy Spirit of promise is the Spirit of Christ. The Holy Spirit, the Helper, the Comforter, the Paraclete, the one that He sends to comfort, right? And what He's talking about here is He says, I'm telling you the truth. It's to your advantage that I go away. Because the Holy Spirit is the one that can love on all of us and comfort us all at the same time. And like I said, Jesus, when He was in a body, if you think about it, even though Jesus is God, He was limited to a little small country, right? A little small area. And that was where He was ministering. That's why Jesus, when He went away, when He died on the cross, was buried and resurrected and went back to heaven, what did He tell His disciples? I think it was in John chapter 13, John chapter 14. He says, you will do greater things than I did. Not greater miracles, but more people would be saved. More lives would be changed. More people would be encouraged. Why? Because the Holy Spirit would be living in and through all of us. That's why Peter, you know, was scared of that little servant girl. And then what happens after Jesus rises from the grave and He sends the Holy Spirit? In Acts chapter 2, He can preach and say, you wicked men who crucified Jesus and put the Son of God to death, the Holy One to death, you're the ones. And stick His finger in their face. But yet, in the end of the book of John and the Gospels, what does He do? He's scared of a little servant girl. He's scared of people who say, you're with Him. No. He's afraid to die. He's afraid of the persecution. He's afraid of it. That's what's going on here. The Helper is the Paraclete, the Encourager, the one that we've been singing about this morning, the one that beneath His wings of love abide. God's going to take care of us. And we sing number 26. Under His wings I'm safely abiding. Who from His love can sever? You know, under His wings, what a refuge in sorrow. There I find comfort and there I am blessed. That is what He's talking about. That Holy Spirit that is there for us when we are tired, when we're weary, when we're sick, when we're going through trouble. That Holy Spirit, that Comforter, that Defender, He comes, He's the Encourager, He's the one who wraps His arms around you and says, I haven't left you. Yeah, maybe everybody else has forgot about you, Maybe everybody else is mistreating you, but I still love you. And I'm there for you, right? Isn't that what he says? He says, it is to your advantage that I go away. I've got to go away so that the Holy Spirit will come. That's the process. He says, but if I depart, I mean, really what he's saying is, but since I depart, I will send him to you. There again, Jesus is saying, I'm God, because he says what? I will send him to you. I will send him to you. He said earlier in chapter in the 15, and he says that he proceeds from the Father, and I'm sending him, and he proceeds from the Father. So Jesus is making himself equal with God, because guess what? He is God, right? That's in verse 26. I shall send to you the Holy Spirit, who proceeds from the Father. So basically, we talked about that if he's sending the Holy Spirit, he's God, right? And there's always that. Remember the whole thing with the book of John is chapter 20, verse 30 and 31. These many other signs Jesus did, but these have been written that you may believe that Jesus is the Son of God, the Christ, and believing you might have what? Life in His name. That's the whole point of the book of John. It is a gospel of salvation that none should perish. And the Holy Spirit, when you get saved, He is the one that comes. I mean, the Holy Spirit is not some kind of consolation prize. You know, you get on TV and they say, well, all right, well, guess the cost of this car, and you miss it. And then they give you some little old consolation prize that's not much of anything, right? It's not what Jesus is saying. Well, I'm going away. I'm just going to leave you this little consolation prize. He's saying it's going to be better. Because I'm leaving, the Holy Spirit's going to be with you and in you and through you. And remember I think I said it this last week, that just as the Holy Spirit, just as Jesus needed a body when He was here on earth to minister, the Holy Spirit needs a body. That's our body. That's your body. It's the church's body. And we are called to be His ministers, His witnesses, His encouragers, His helpers. We are called to be the ministers. What does Romans 5, I think it's verse 5, says? The love of God has been poured out in our heart by the Holy Spirit who was given to us. And so the Holy Spirit enables us to love people. And He shows us He loves us. And we know we're loved by Him because of the Holy Spirit. But we're also able to love other people.
I'm the child. I'm the widow left alone. So be loved, be loved to me.
Hi, I'm Marty McKenzie with His Love Ministries. Welcome to our program, The Least of These. Every week, we at His Love Ministries, we go out and reach out to those the world has forgotten. We go out to many places throughout the community. We conduct about 70 services every single month. And we go out and minister to those who can't get out, go to church services, those that have been forgotten by the community, those in nursing homes, assisted living facilities, mental health facilities, even the prisons and the jails. And so as we go out and minister to the least of these, we're trying to reach them with the soul-saving message of Jesus Christ. And He is the only way to get to heaven. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no one gets to the Father but by me. Every week we're out there trying to minister to these folks, and every week we're in the trenches just giving them the gospel, trying to grow them, trying to strengthen them. Many of them are unable, or all of them actually, are unable to be able to go out to services. And so we go out to them. And it's a job that we love because God has called us to it. And so if you like what you hear with our podcast, our main website is hisloveministries.net. You can go over there and you can help us fulfill our mission
reaching out to those the world has forgotten, to the least of these. Because Jesus said, if you've done it unto the least of these, you've done it unto me. And so if you want to help us, go out to our website. There's a Donate Now button. You can click on it and donate directly to us. Or you can send us a regular mail, Post Office Box 30513, Savannah, Georgia, 31410. Thank you very much, and God bless you for helping us.